So you went to visit family?
Yeah. Oh, it's recording. So...
Well,
it was an award for him, right? Just let's just talk a little bit so you
okay,
can.
Okay, so we can work.
Get the feeling for that.
Well, we went to Washington, and then on the third day, my son came for us.
From Richmond,
he lives up
right?
in Richmond.
Yeah.
And we went to visit the family. They just had a new baby, so okay. we went.
You've never
to see
been there. Had you been there before? See.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've been up there.
Amazed at all the monuments and the museums, and
that's beautiful.
And it's all free.
It's all beautiful.
All right, this is a recording of an interview with Mrs. Socorro Perez. This is done. She lives at 7911 Monterrey in El Paso, Texas. The date is Monday, March the 3rd, 2003. The interviewer is Richard Baquera, and this interview is for the Bracero Oral History Project. So let's just begin, if you will, please. Just tell me your name and where
okay,
your birthday.
I was born here in El Paso, Thomason Hospital, about 60-somewhat years.
Oh, okay.
And
and your name was your
my
maiden name.
My maiden name is Socorro Cristina Ortiz.
Okay.
Perez.
Perez.
I started school.
You were born. What part of town were you born in?
I was born at Thomason, and my parents used to live. My mother and my grandmother, grandparents used to live in Second Ward.
Okay, I'm sorry. That's what I meant.
Yeah,
is where you were.
And then I started.
Do you remember the address?
It was Park Street.
Okay.
Park Street, in front of that little park. There was a presidio there. Right now they've got, it's renovated. It's got projects, government
okay.
projects.
Okay.
Then when I was about 5, we moved up to North El Paso. So we started school at Moorhead School.
Okay, do you remember the address there?
Moorhead, North El Paso Street.
Oh, okay.
It was a hill, the homes were there. Just across the street from Providence, more or less, a little bit over here on the mountains, where there was a mountain, and that was North El Paso Street at the time. Hmm. Now it's changed. I think the name has changed. Anyway, I started Moorhead, first grade, second grade, and then that was my grandmother's house, and then we moved back. We moved back to Second Ward. With just the 5 of us and my mother. My mother was a widow. So moved
you
back.
Have how many brothers and sisters?
I've got 3 brothers and my sister and I.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you are the oldest, youngest?
I'm the second oldest.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Just a year apart. My brother and I are 3 years apart. And my sister and I are 1 year apart. And then my brothers are 5 years apart from us. And then 2, 1 year apart also.
Do you remember their names?
Sure, of course. I see them all the time. There's Manuel, there's me, and there's Maria Elena, and Chuy, and Richard. He's the youngest. Same name as you.
Yes, I'm his tocayo.
Yeah.
Okay, so you will move back to?
We moved back to the San Jacinto area. So I started school, we started school in Alamo, second grade. And my sister was in first grade in Alamo. And then we went up to 5th, and then we moved to San Jacinto. And then we started in San Jacinto, 5th and 6th.
San Jacinto School?
San Jacinto Elementary School, where the adult center is now. It's the adult center.
So do you remember what street you lived on?
When I was growing up?
Yeah.
Olive Street.
Olive Street there.
Yeah.
Okay. So you moved around a little bit.
Of course. At the time, nobody owned a home.
Yeah.
And then I started BUI for half a semester. And then we moved back again up to Wyoming. No. Yeah, Wyoming, and then I started El Paso High.
Okay.
And since I had to work, and I couldn't have as a freshman, I couldn't have a, what was it at the time, job, on the job training?
Oh, yes.
Where you get out and right. go part-time to school. So I changed schools. I went to El Paso Tech.
Okay.
And then I used to go part-time in the school and then work at Woolworth in the afternoon. Mm.
What were you doing? What did you do at Woolworth?
Salesperson.
Oh, okay.
I was selling trinkets and all that kind of stuff.
Okay. That would be downtown, right?
Downtown, yeah. I would run downtown from El Paso Tech to Woolworth.
Really?
No, yeah.
You didn't take a bus or anything?
No. We used to walk for everything. Good legs.
Yeah, I guess so.
And then I graduated from El Paso Tech. And I started working. I started working at Lone Star, and my uncle, who used to work for the Employment Commission, told me there's openings, a lot of openings, at immigration for the Braceros.
Now the Lone Star was
Lone Star Motor Company.
Oh, okay.
On Texas
used to be
and
in Texas
yeah.
and cotton.
Texas and cotton.
Yes,
yeah,
I know. My father used to buy his cars there.
Yeah.
It's
the Cadillac and the Chevrolet and
exactly,
all this, yeah.
That's the one.
The Oldsmobile. Anyway, it was 1955 when I started working at immigration. I left the Lone Star job because
okay.
it was a better paying job, of course. At
it
the time, the minimum wage was $1.25. And so over here, I was going to earn, what was it? I think it was $7.
Really?
Yeah, it was
an hour.
An hour, yeah.
That is a lot.
Gold checks. Yeah,
do
for
you
the
think
time.
The difference is just because
five,
it was a federal
five
job.
$5 or $7, yeah.
Wow.
Because it was a federal government, we had to go through all the process.
Right.
And
so it was your uncle that told you, right? Then
my uncle that told me.
And where
and
did you apply?
I applied over at the courthouse, at the federal courthouse.
Okay.
I applied over there. I took a test at the working commission, and then I took the application to the federal building, and I was sworn in and all this kind of stuff. And
you were just looking for any kind of a job? You weren't anything in particular?
No, it was a typist.
Oh, okay.
You had to be a typist.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. And
but not with any
social
particular
skills.
Agency, just whoever they wherever they needed you, they
were. Yeah, they were there. Yeah. It was for the immigration job that I was looking
that
at.
That you were looking
yeah.
for. Yeah. Oh, okay.
So I started over there, and I typed passports. It was by hand. And we used to take the fingerprints from the braceros.
So you started at, where was it that you...
At the Rio Vista.
At the Rio Vista.
Uh-huh,
okay.
Rio Vista. Typing passports.
Exactly when it was that you started there?
It was harvest time. It had to be. So I started, I think it was a summer. It was summertime, about July.
Uh-huh.
And we worked, it was a seasonal job.
Right.
It was a seasonal job. And we worked from July, August, September, October, November, and then that was it. Then the next year, I went back to work. I don't know where I went back to work. I can't remember that part.
Okay.
For seasonal, because I wanted to go back to the immigration.
Yeah.
It was seasonal. And
how did you get to from where you live from
we
downtown?
We took the bus. We took the bus.
Which bus do you remember? Was it?
It was the Valley Bus.
The
Valley Bus.
The old blue ones?
Yeah.
Do you remember? The
yeah.
Villalobos?
Yeah, the Villalobos. Uh-huh.
Okay.
That was, yeah. So.
And how much did it cost you then, do you remember?
What was it? Wasn't it a quarter?
I don't remember. I used to ride them myself.
I think it was a quarter.
Quarter. And where would they drop you? They
would drop me at the highway on
Highway 80.
Highway 80.
And then you would
and
walk.
And we would walk.
Over
we
to.
We would walk. There were many of us that we knew each other. Yeah, we knew each other. So
you'd walk together back.
We walked
back and
back
forth.
And forth. Yeah.
How long was your day?
I was from. Early in the morning, I know it was early in the morning. We had to be there at 7:30, I think it was. 7 to 2 or something like that, yeah. Okay. We would be home early.
So what time, but you'd have to leave your home early. What time would you have to leave downtown?
No, I used to live out here in the valley.
Oh, okay.
By that time, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Montecito. That's where my mother lived. And so we started at 6 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes my brothers would drop me off.
Okay.
He would drop me
off. So
it
got to where they had a car.
But I had to pay for him for weekly gas.
Oh.
And then we had the government bus that would pick us up also.
Oh, really? There was a...
Yeah, government bus. We had a bus that would pick us up on North Loop. But we had to be there waiting for them.
So you would have to walk. Montecito is...
Yeah, Montecito is an area.
I've heard the name.
Yeah, it's an old... It's one of the first urban that they built, Montecito. And so we used to walk to North Loop.
Okay.
And catch the bus right there on North Loop.
And would it also take you, bring you back?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Did they charge you anything?
No. The government bus? That was free. That was free.
Okay. So you had three ways then? The city bus or one of your brothers?
Yeah.
Or
The valley bus, yeah. Yeah. And, or we would ride in packs, you know. They would pick us up and we would pay the gas if somebody had a car. But it was, nobody had a car, only the males used to have a car. I used to earn more than my brothers, but he was the one with a car, not me.
Oh.
We were not supposed to.
Yes, I know.
So the experiences was that some of these men would come in for the adventure. We could tell, they told us at the beginning, be sure and check their hands when you take their fingerprints. Be sure and check their hands to see if they're... Excuse me. We would check their fingerprints.
Okay.
And if their hands were very smooth, that meant that they were not workers. They were just out here for the adventure.
Okay.
Or to stay here.
Right. Now I understand that they would be fingerprinted ahead of time, right?
Ahead of time, yeah.
Yeah. So you didn't
we would
do
make
any
the
of
passports,
that.
And then on the passports their fingerprints were. Were there on the fingerprints.
So they had an actual, like a passport?
They had a card. We would make a card, and that passport, their fingerprints would be on the passport.
Oh, okay. So you basically would just then check the name with the person?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
With a person. And so, and their date of birth, some people, some of them would not, didn't know when they were born.
Right.
And they knew that they had been baptized, but they didn't know where. Or they didn't have any papers. They just had, you know, just a Mexican passport.
So what would you do in that case?
We would just say, you know, no certificate. We would just put no certificate. No,
think,
and not any
do
kind.
Do you think you got the job because you knew Spanish? Was it a requirement, pretty much, that you know Spanish, too?
I think it was. And because you knew typing at the time. And because we would speak to the braceros.
Yes. So
we
being
would
bilingual
tell them,
was an asset.
It was an asset. It was an asset. It's always been.
Yeah.
And something else, the social skills were there also. We were not supposed to be shy because we would ask some personal questions. And at the time, I was so young and naive that when they said, soy hijo natural, I didn't know what they meant.
Okay.
I came home and I asked my grandmother, Mama, cuando dicen hijo natural, ¿qué quiere decir? Pues nomás fue la madre. ¿Y no tuvieron padre? Pues ¿cómo puede ser eso? Pues fue una aventura que tuvieron, pero no fueron legítimos de papá y mamá.
I see.
Very, very naive. Well. At the time, girls were, you know, we were.
So you would show up in the morning about 7:30.
Yeah.
And everybody had their own desk. Is that?
We had a desk. It was a big room like a warehouse.
Uh-huh.
And we would sit everybody in a certain corner. And we would have them line up.
Okay.
And since we were the only ones there, plus our supervisor, we could do whatever we wanted to. So I would call out, and I'd say. In the morning, I was if I came in with the high spirits, I would say, todos los que tengan 25 para abajo, para esta máquina, por favor. So I was surrounded by young people, by a lot of young people, and they had just gotten off the train. So I said, I started to type, and the smell, I couldn't breathe it, the smell, only the smell. Bah, I fainted.
See, I fainted
because of the smell. They had not taken a bath or anything.
Oh, and they just come off. Okay.
And some of the people, some of the men would not, no se lavaban las manos, because they, ¿por qué no se ha lavado las manos? Traigo un resfrío, señorita, y no me quiero lavar ni las manos.
So do you remember how? So okay, they brought them over on the train to.
And then they would unload
them. From there, they would. How would they get to Rio Vista?
To Rio Vista, they took them by buses.
By buses to.
Yeah,
Rio Vista.
By buses to the. From the train, the train was nearby.
Oh.
Apparently,
okay.
Yeah, it was nearby. It was, in fact, the warehouse was like this, and the railroad was, you know,
very close.
Very close. They would walk to the warehouse, to the big warehouse on Rio Vista.
I see.
Some of the men were not being able to put their fingerprints. Their hands were had been so wasted.
From work.
From work. They didn't have any fingerprints anymore.
So what would you do in that case?
We would put them any way we could.
I see.
And we would try all the fingers to see which one they wouldn't come out. And we would just put down, you know, unable to print the fingerprint.
So basically, you had all these men would come in, and everybody could just, you could just do whoever you wanted. There was no, like, all the men of de cierto apellido acá o de.
No. De donde quiera. Oh, sometimes we used to take all the Chihuahua states.
Oh.
You know, the Chihuahua, diferentes. That's what we used to do most of the time. But we did it. They didn't tell us, you know. We just get in line and everybody would get in line.
Okay. So if you can remember, let's say I'm one of these men, what would you ask them?
Okay. ¿Cómo se llama? ¿Cuál es su apellido de su padre? No tengo, señorita. Soy hijo natural, y I understood, nomás un nombre nomás. Su edad, el día de nacimiento y dónde nació. ¿Qué más le preguntaba? ¿Cuánto ha trabajado de ranchero, de agrícola? ¿De cuántos años tiene trabajando en esto?
Mm-hmm.
Y, you know, we would put down how many years they've been a farmer or agricultural worker. Muchos de ellos no sabían dónde habían nacido. Muchos de ellos no sabían si tenían padres. Venían toda la vida, fueron criados por padrinos o
abuelos
o vecinos que los habían dejado. Parte de la cultura, ¿verdad?, mexicana,
sí.
Que los niños los cría alguien más. Muchos de ellos venían y decían, pues mire, señorita, no sé cuándo nací, pero me decían mis abuelos que yo había nacido cuando la cosecha de calabazas había sido muy, muy grande. Usted no sabe dónde. No, le decía yo, bueno, más o menos tiene como 45 años. No, señorita, tengo 30. You know, they look 45 and they would say they were 30.
Hmm.
About 30 years old, más o menos. Les decía yo, los veía muy gastados por el sol y por a lot of experiences que como cuando venían unos güeros, de ojos azules y todo. Y le digo, ¿sus padres son menonitas? No, señorita, nomás así eran mis padres, así güeros de ojos azules. Venían a trabajar, sí,
también
mucha gente, muchos güeros, muchos
de,
güeros.
¿De cuáles estados? What states did they come from? Do you remember?
De los güeros de Chihuahua.
Bueno, pues
de Zacatecas. De donde quiera, de Zacatecas. Y luego los que venían de Veracruz, Estaban morenos.
Sí, más morenos.
Más morenos. Hasta porque allá entraron allá los africanos, allá sí, por Veracruz. Esclavos, sí. Y todo eso, toda la historia, tienes que saber parte de la historia y por qué vienen sí. así. Todos los de Chihuahua están mixteados con los alemanes que cayeron allí por las minas. Mm-hmm. But you read about all these things.
Sí.
That's, we're avid readers here, so we know about
me
history.
Too.
Yeah. So, todo eso.
Pues venían de Chihuahua, de
Zacatecas. Venían de Chihuahua,
de
Zacatecas, de Veracruz, de Michoacán, de Matamoros, de Tamaulipas. ¿Dónde está Tamaulipas?
Es cerca de Nuevo León.
Nuevo León, Tamaulipas. De todas las partes, de todas las partes.
Y les hacía las preguntas y luego you would fingerprint them.
We would fingerprint them.
Okay, and then that would so, they would
sometimes
have
our job was just typing okay. for that day. Cuando acabábamos ya con todos los pasaportes y luego ya los mandábamos para las huellas y luego les decíamos ahora sí vénganse para esta línea.
That would be another building.
Another no the same no, building.
Same building. Oh.
No más que un poquito más para allá donde teníamos todas las mesas de okay. fingerprinting. Mm-hmm.
I've been driven by Rio Vista. I live by there.
There's and you never went inside?
No, not yet. Four or five buildings, large. Do you remember which one you were in?
The biggest one.
Oh, okay.
The main building. It was the main building. Todas estaban iguales, mm-hmm. pero esta estaba más grande.
Oh, okay.
Esa estaba más grande con una bodega acá y luego se partía la bodega y para allá hacíamos los esto. Okay. Estábamos todos en el mismo edificio.
Okay. Then they would go to fingerprinting and then
si las demás y luego fingerprinting in the same building y luego ya les daban su cut para cuando le estaban llamando de los ranchos los mandaban a ver cuántos okay. necesitaban pero tenían su cut ahí en los otros buildings eran sus mm-hmm. dormitory
they would sleep there until
yeah they would sleep and the other one was a cafeteria and
okay.
stuff
so
like that
they would,
yeah.
they would be fed as well
yeah they were fed and they had their cut to sleep in.
Did most of them have? Do you remember? Did they have some clothes? What did they bring with them?
They bought like their jackets, whatever they had as jackets. Some of them didn't have anything. Todo el tiempo andaban
just
por
what
eso.
They were wearing.
What they were wearing,
really?
Long sleeve shirts, and all of them had the undergarment.
No,
if they were from Chihuahua, because Chihuahua is a very cold,
much colder,
cold state, very much like this, but it's colder because it's the mountains are there.
See.
What
if did you ever have a where, let's say you saw somebody, the hands are very smooth. He's obviously not.
Uh huh.
What would you tell? Would you send
we would
him
tell
back?
Him, ¿Estás seguro que quiere ir a trabajar a un rancho? Que quiere ir de en la agricultura, de ir a levantar la verdura o la fruta,
algodón.
Piscar algodón y todo eso. ¿Estás seguro? Dice, sí, señorita, estoy listo. Yo fui a la... Y luego ya me decían que habían ido a colegio, pero que estaban diestros a venir a conocer y que era una enseñanza para ellos.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. So once they were processed, that's basically the end of your...
That was it. We never saw them again. But there was a lot of people, a lot of professors that went came by to work in the farms.
Y
son los que se quedaron por acá.
Oh, okay. So a lot of them would stay eventually.
Yeah,
did you see any come, like, would they come two or three seasons in a row? They would.
Yes, yes.
So you would see
uh-huh,
some a few
yeah.
times? You'd get
you,
to
you
know
saw them. I lasted about three seasons. So yes, I did see some that came back.
So this would be, I believe you said you started there, what, about 55?
About 54, 55, and 56, more or less, about three seasons.
Okay.
And then I started working at George & Thompson, and I stayed there.
At where?
George & Thompson. It was industrial,
I've heard the name.
Yeah, George & Thompson. I stayed there until I got married, and then I worked for a year, and then I stayed home.
So, was there always work? Was there any time when you came, you showed up for work, and they would tell you, well, you know, we don't have any, or they haven't come in, or...
No.
There was always...
They would tell us a week in advance. Okay,
oh.
We're working until so this date. From then on, we'll call you. We'll give you a call on until that time. This will be your last paycheck. They will call you for the next season.
Oh, they would call you for when?
Yeah, they would call us for the next season. Or they would tell us, okay, you're up, Socorro, you're up for August, you know, come back on this date to work again.
That's usually when we start, but August, maybe July?
July, sometimes it was very hot in there. Yeah, that's why you would lose your balance out there because of the smell.
Yeah.
And some of them, mostly they did want to take a bath, pero los señores grandes son los que no se bañaban, no querían bañarse.
I thought that they would, well, when they were being processed, I don't know if you ever, that they would, they wouldn't make them take a bath, or they would...
No, it was up to them.
Oh, really? Didn't they?
You're thinking of the camps up in Germany, where they fumigate up the...
Yeah. See, I've heard...
For piojos and... No, they didn't do that.
They didn't do that
there? No.
That's what I've heard, that they would do that to them for, you know, bugs and or whatever, piojos, so...
No.
You know...
No, I didn't see that.
No.
I never saw that.
No.
Nunca me ando arrascando yo, porque se brinca.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. No. I never saw any fumigating of men. No, I don't think so. The fumigation was there on the farms.
Maybe on the farms.
Yeah, on the farms.
Okay, but not
what
there.
The crops, but not them.
Do you remember what kind of, you mentioned picking cotton.
Picking cotton. They would go all the way to strawberry season. Where is strawberry? Minnesota?
Oh, so
yeah,
that was the other thing I was going to ask you. So
yeah, they
around here it was mostly cotton and maybe...
Cotton and melons and cantaloupes and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But to the north it was, I think, it was Minnesota. It was... I had the cattlemen. They would go all the way to Wyoming and all those places.
So you would send them from here, they could also go...
To Wyoming, because if they had skills in cattle, yeah.
Okay. And how would they get them there? Well, someone would, I would assume,
they would come for them.
These people would
And they
come.
Would be taken by buses, Greyhound, by buses. Or sometimes by their own cars, by the farmers' cars. If they were taken about 5-4. Whatever, they would pick them up here.
I see. Mm-hmm. So up in Minnesota, strawberries and...
Strawberries, and I think it was... They said that it was... what other thing? Other fruits. It was fruits and vegetables, all kinds of vegetables.
So a lot of people, I guess they kind of assumed that most of them would stay here, but they went to various different...
Yeah.
Anywhere, like maybe the Northwest, Washington, Oregon, do you remember?
I remember that they used to go to California also.
Okay, from here.
From here, But they wouldn't stay here in Texas. No, they would be out in different places. Because this is the only place that we had braceros. That they have braceros up in San Diego and...
Yes, from my understanding is that there was a processing centers. In a couple of other places maybe, so
okay.
They might have sent them, but it's interesting that from El Paso here they would send them.
They would, yeah.
Do you remember about how many they, at some point, how many would you have there in a typical day waiting to be picked up?
Sometimes we would have so many, 500 in a day. 500 in a day, they were coming in droves.
And then, what do you think? Most of those would be gone? What was the turnover? Would they... How long would, say, those 500, how long would they stay there? A day or two, and then they would be gone, and then another group?
Yeah,
So they rarely lasted more than maybe a day
more
or
than
two or three?
3 days. 3 days was the only... Yeah. And then they would be shipped out.
I see.
So they had the demand, the demand, and then they would bring... What is it called? Demand and...
Supply and demand.
Supply.
Yeah.
Supply and demand.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that was... there were nice stories too, you know. It wasn't all dreary. It was a lot of fun because they were These are people that you're talking about, people with so many manners and so submissive, that they would tell us their stories, you know. They would tell us the stories of why, because a drought in their area.
That's a question I was going to ask you. Yeah. Did they ever tell you why they had come?
Yeah, many of them, because the drought was terrible up there in their places where they came from. The farmers out there were not hiring anybody because they could hardly make it themselves. Some of them lost their farms because of their playing cards or whatever.
Oh, really?
Some of them, yeah. Some of them lost it to women, to other women, instead of their wives.
They're all different.
No saben para quien trabaja.
Very different. Reasons, huh?
Yeah, different reasons. Some of them just came because it was very needed to come and work, because there was nothing out there.
Would some of them say, "Yeah, well, I just came. I just wanted to travel. I just wanted to."
Yeah.
But mostly some of those, it was a need.
Most of them, there was a need. But some, you know, maybe 2-3 out of 100 people would come. You would see their hands. Mm-hmm. We were supposed to check their hands to see if they knew how to work as a laborer.
Were there any like age limits?
No age limits. No, nothing like that.
Like, if someone came in, looked 14, 15. If someone was too young, or maybe
some of them did, but they lied, but they had their papers.
I see.
They looked 16, but they were actually 20. Yeah, a lot of them like that. Malnutrition, I think.
Most
it
of
was.
Them just looked older than they were, and so
some looked older than they were. Most of them, I would say, the ones that have been, you know, had to have family already. A lot of single men would come. A lot of single men looking for wives, American citizen wives.
Oh.
That's why I had so many boyfriends. That they.
Well, I was going to ask you about your side. What would I would assume you would? They would give you time for lunch, or would you just work through until were done for the day?
No, we used to take our lunch, and then we would take our lunch at 12. We would all stop and take our lunch.
I guess they would have lunch as well, right?
Yeah, and then we would mingle with our co-workers for a while and then come back again. Oh, yeah, he used to. It was nice.
Did you ever, like, you were going to mention something about social, were you prohibited from, like, you know, they would tell you, well, don't get too friendly with any of these?
Oh, no, they didn't tell us anything. Because we come from the old timers that we didn't do that. Also, although we did tell them, you know, they, señorita, no me das un número para escribirle. So I would put a wrong name and they would write to me. Those are the letters that I wanted to show you, but I can't find. Might have thrown away so many years.
Sure. You never think that
would be. That they're going to be important, right? I had this guy that wrote to me from, where did he write to me from? Somewhere up in Taylor, Texas, or what was it? Something
Taylor's
like that,
Austin.
a rural town,
yeah.
Taylor, Texas. He wrote to me, and I couldn't write back. That was the only time, because he didn't tell me anything. He wrote a lot of poetry.
Oh, really?
Tu cara está como un espejo que el agua refleja y que como las estrellas que eres la única que me has gustado y que nomás como una canción. So I didn't write back.
This is sort of like very old style.
Very old style of writing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you think he wrote it, or do you think he?
He had somebody. So some of his. None of them could write. You know, they were farmers, and it was very few that could write. And when they wrote, they wrote just bad Spanish. But.
What about some of your other co-workers? Did they have some of the same experiences?
They did.
Did any of them ever get friendlier, let's say, with them to where they maybe started seeing them or something?
Okay, let me tell you about this one. this was an older woman, and she was unmarried. And I think she got friendly, more than friendly, with, and he stayed here in El Paso. I think he came back and he stayed here in El Paso. But that was only a temporary thing. Mm-hmm. But I think, yeah, more than friendly.
But as soon as the season was up, they would. So
like
the papers they had.
Excuse me.
It's okay. The passport was, did it say like, there's a certain deadline or this, you
yeah.
know, vence a cierto.
Mm-hmm. No más por el season.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Okay. No más por el season. Just the season. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. It's that time of the year for.
Yeah. It was only seasonal. So they, the passport said from this date to this date.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They would come back. Mm-hmm. And the ranchers knew. Mm-hmm.
When
the ranchers knew when to send them back, or
okay.
or if they wanted to keep them, they would tell, you know, the year round.
Oh, they would.
They would, so yeah.
If they were,
some of them,
okay,
yeah.
When they're going to be sent back, did they ever come back through there again?
No, not there. No.
This is just the where they came in, right?
Where they came in.
Process there
the,
to leave.
The coming back, no, we never saw them again. No.
Okay.
You know what? Sometimes what I saw was that. Those people that had the contract, they would come back before the contract because they didn't like it. They would come and apply for another farm.
Oh, okay.
On the same process,
see,
but it was on their own.
I see.
That was something else
I was going to ask
yeah.
you. If you ever had problems between, say, some of the braceros and some of the ranchers.
Yeah, so. They did. They did. Some of them didn't like the... Some of them would say that it was so cold. And they didn't have a house. They would sleep up in the barn. But the barn was so old. They didn't have any covering. So
okay, so sometimes they would complain because where they stayed there was no...
Yeah, there was... Yeah.
Or
the working arrangements were just... Or they were treated, you know, like an animal. They would say, nos trataban como animales también.
Do you know how much they got paid? What they were complaints about? No me pagan bastante or...
Wasn't it a... ¿Qué les daban? $3 por el día o algo así.
Okay, I don't know.
Or...
I think that the ones that picked cotton would be paid according to how much...
According to the pounds they
right,
picked.
Right,
but the other ones, it was for the day.
Okay.
For an 8-hour day or 12-hour
something
day
like
sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah,
so if they came back and said they wanted to go somewhere else...
Yeah. Sometimes they would... Yeah. Or the owners would send them back.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
And so you would just
process
find them
again
another place.
And send them to
okay.
another place.
Was that
but
an easy thing for them to do? I mean, was I
no,
guess
it wasn't easy for them.
I'm thinking that, you know, it must have, as you were telling me, that they're very kind of submissive and very
yeah.
humildes.
Muy humildes.
It must have been very difficult. Maybe there must have been many of them who didn't like it but who didn't say anything.
Yeah.
So this must have been very difficult for them to,
yeah.
you know, to be brave enough to come and say, look,
I'm
not happy, whatever.
No estoy a gusto aquí. No.
See. But there wasn't very many, or was it?
Yes, a lot
there
of
was
complaints.
A lot of them?
Yeah,
see?
A lot of complaints at the time.
Was there
so rancheros so racist. Well, it's always been,
yeah.
but...
Do you remember any particular ranches? Any particular rancheros?
Los rancheros que trabajaban en... los trabajadores que trabajaban en el King Ranch.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Down in South
con
Texas?
Con las vacas, con...
Sí.
Yeah. The cattle, with the cattle.
Do you remember any local ranchers
country.
Here?
Huh?
Any local ranchers here?
Here,
do you remember?
Oh, Ivy.
Really?
The Ivy.
Oh, yeah. A lot of complaints about him. That's interesting because my father
worked for Ivy.
He was not a bracero, but he worked for Ivy for many years.
Yeah. Well, not that I know
no.
of.
Oh.
What do you know about the Ivies?
Well,
they
I know they're
they
you
were
know,
you know they
large
were farmers,
farmers
but they weren't
I know
that nice.
They're very Catholic,
you know.
And so
very
you would
Catholic,
assume that
yeah.
they
would be treated, you know, the people as
yeah.
a. Well, lately I've heard that they changed, but I maybe the grandfather wasn't like that.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean,
yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to pry there.
No.
I was wondering
just,
if you
yeah.
remembered any names in particular.
And some others. Who were the others?
Did you ever send any to Pecos?
Oh, yeah.
Any complaints about Pecos?
Pecos, yes. A lot of complaints from Pecos. No, señorita. Esta gente nos dicen cada cosa.
Yeah. See, I've heard of problems in the Pecos. That at some point they wouldn't even send. Do you know? If you got too many complaints, would you stop sending braceros to a particular...
No, gringos estaban allá. No, hombre. They would side with the farmers. They wouldn't side with the braceros. No. Todo el tiempo ha sido así. Nunca va a cambiar. Hasta que se estén muriendo estos
sí,
viejos.
Maybe the new
que
generation.
Cambie de la nueva ola. What else can I tell you about them? They were so humble, you know.
Okay.
The humility.
Was there any ever trouble between them? Would there ever be fighting, any kind of violence between them? Or were they all pretty much...
Sometimes they were. For... They used to gamble between them. Maybe that was...
So some of them had a little money. Is this when they were there? Maybe they had a little money with
them?
Yeah,
they had a little money. But mostly... They would send them back. If there were some troublemakers, they would send them back to Mexico. No, they wouldn't put up with them.
So they should know that was the price they would pay
for.
Yeah,
So they had to. But mostly, no, it's... These are... You're talking about really the humble people that came.
The neediest
people.
Maybe.
Most of them.
So it sounds like you feel like this whole bracero thing was good for them overall, do you think?
Yes. Because most of them do want to go back to their country. They don't want to stay here, put up with all this
basically
nonsense.
Basically earn an honest wage
and go back and make a living out there. Most of them, you know what they had in mind was that they would come and earn and save their money and build a business up in Mexico,
okay.
Some kind of business.
They didn't want to go back to farming, ranching, no?
Yeah, they did, but they wanted to build their own, you know, even buy acres or whatever, you know. But they didn't. They didn't. Most of them didn't want to stay here. They wanted to go back. They say, you know, this is a beautiful country, but ours is more beautiful than here. More beautiful, and it is. It's true. Esta es tierra virgen, ¿verdad? La de México. What else can I tell you? Some of them stayed. They married Anglo women. As you can see, all these people that stayed.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, a lot of them stayed. They got married out here with Anglo women, hillbillies. Yeah. Yeah. Like my son.
So, how was it then that you worked there for three seasons?
Three seasons.
And you left because?
Permanent job.
Oh,
permanent
okay.
job.
By that time you wanted something more permanent.
Yeah, and then I started at Georgia Stompson and I stayed there until I got married, and then I worked a year after that, and then I stayed home with my children.
Oh, okay.
I got married in 1958.
And George Thompson does?
George Stompson. They sell industrial supplies.
Oh, okay.
Tubing, electrical wiring, all that industrial things for Phelps Dodge, for Standard Oil, all those.
Your wage about the same as?
Oh, no. George Stompson, I got $125.
Really?
I started with $125.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I was the main secretary. And they upped my salary to $2. Big deal.
A whole $2. Huh?
Yeah.
Where was this? Where was the Thompson?
Campbell and what? Montana? Is it Montana? Yeah, Montana. Campbell and Montana.
Okay, I think I know.
More or less that block. It's down. It doesn't exist anymore. George Thompson is now up here. Up on Guardian Angel is, on the freeway, near the freeway.
Yeah,
Guardian Angel Church.
Yeah, I think I know where that is.
Okay.
Frutas and...
Somewhere in Frutas,
there.
Yeah. That's where George's Thompson is now.
Did Do you ever hear from some of your co-workers who were there?
Oh, I knew a lot. Los Gomez, the three of them work. The guy, Guillermo Gomez, Teresa Gomez, and la hermana, what was her name? La Grande. I think it was Paula Gomez.
So you all stayed in touch, those of you that used to
work
there?
Yeah, we know each other. Yeah, we've known each other. I went to school with Teresa, and we knew each other. Another one was Guevara. Robert Guevara. I think he worked there.
For some reason, I had a feeling that you all were mostly women, but you weren't.
Some guys with a fingerprinting and typists also.
But how many in all do you remember? Entre todos, the typists and the fingerprinters and the...
¿Cómo cuántos éramos? Ay, a bunch of us. About maybe a dozen females. Mm-hmm. We were all young, right out of high school.
That's what I was going to ask you.
We were all out of high school. The supervisor was the only one that was the oldest of all. The supervisor was one of the immigration officers. But mostly we were all very young. I can't remember any other people that I used to hang out.
Did your friends envy you that you were making so much more money than...
No.
No?
It wasn't.
There was nothing?
No, nothing like that. Nothing like that. Then I got married, and then I had the children, and my children started to go to college, and then I started college also, and my youngest was in first grade.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I finished, and then I went teaching to teach.
You were teaching for where?
I started in Isleta.
Isleta grade?
With Isleta grade, and then I went to Socorro, and then I worked up at Hueco. I was up there for 5 years. And then one summer, I was invited to work part-time over here at the Adult Center.
Where is that? You mentioned
The Isleta Community Learning Center on Alameda.
Okay.
On Alameda and Padres, where you going to the freeway, the border freeway.
Alameda and
Padres. That's that.
Oh, yes, yeah, I know. I was confusing it with another place.
Yeah, that's Isleta. Then I stayed there for 15 years.
When you were teaching, what grade did you teach? Any particular?
Usually second grade.
Okay. Uh-huh. The young ones.
And then I started teaching the adults, the GED over here.
Okay.
And I liked it. No discipline problems.
Yeah.
I got less money, but who cares? I was very happy there. I just retired last year.
Oh.
Uh-huh. So
now you get to enjoy your...
Well... what I'm doing, I'm volunteering. I'm teaching ESL here at church. I've got a dozen students, las señoras, some young and some.
The church is where? Santa Lucia?
Santa Lucia.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I teach on Tuesdays and Thursdays. This is volunteer on my own. And then I've got a lot of friends that are principals. And they told me, you can have all the materials, you just ask for them. So I go for the materials. Over here at Sageland. And then Dolores de Avila, she's a principal over at Isleta Elementary, and she also gives me supplies, no problem.
You were at the old Isleta grade, huh? I went there for, I think, a year.
You did?
To Isleta grade. This
when
is
you were teaching,
time.
When I was teaching out there, yeah.
I don't know. I must have been there, it was like second grade, would be maybe early 50s.
Oh, okay, okay.
No, mid-50s. I remember a Mrs. Roberts.
Again, another name. Tell me another
that's
name.
That's all I remember is Mrs. Roberts. Mr. Binion was the principal, and there was Mr. the one that lives there on North Loop, aquí, down Mackendorfer, something
I
like that.
I didn't get to know him. I didn't get to know him.
I remember that there was this couple who used to be on TV. And country western, and they came to sing for us once. Red Brown and Annie Lee.
Yeah.
I remember them. This was, I mean, long time ago. I was like maybe second grade. Third grade, I don't think so. Because then my parents moved us over to Mount Carmel, and we went to the parochial schools and the high schools and all of that. But
did you like
my
that?
Mother went
did
to
like
the
that?
Isleta grade school. Yeah.
Did you like that parochial school?
Yes, I never had. You know, people talk about they have problems with, you know, the nuns who would hit them with a ruler or whatever. I never really had.
But what about the schooling? Was it up to the standards of the Texas schools?
You didn't think about it then. All we knew then was that, you know, it was a poor school, and we would get, you know, our textbooks and things that we were using were, they looked old.
Pass over from the regular
they looked
schools,
old.
Yeah.
But, you know, you learn the basics. And so, I think from that, in that sense, but that's where our parents wanted to send us, so.
Yeah.
And
I always went to public schools. I started at St. Ignatius, but it was... It was expensive for just a single parent.
Yeah, and with four or five?
Yeah, there were five of us. So we started working very early in life. And then in 72, I went back to work for immigration.
You did, really?
Yes, I went back. But this was riding around. Remember that the agents were abusing women they picked up. And so there had to be a woman then on. And that's when I started, 72.
Really?
I worked
How did
for a
year. They contacted you? How did that happen?
I went because my brother used to work for immigration. And he said, you know what? They're hiring right now, part-time. It'll be good for you. It'll be, you can be with the children and still work part-time. And when I went... they told me, okay, this job doesn't pay too much because you've never been in the service. If you had been in the service, you would be your GH. What is it?
The levels.
Yeah, the levels. So I started level one. The pay wasn't good. But it was adventuresome because we used to pick up the barmaids that were coming over, the homosexuals dressed in...
The transvestites, whatever they call them.
Transvestites, yeah. We would pick up all kinds of people.
And you were there basically just, what, to...
From...
To be a witness that nothing, you know...
I was an agent. I was a patrol officer.
Oh, really?
Did
you wear a uniform
badge.
And everything?
No, I used to wear only the badge.
Oh, okay.
The badge, only
but
the badge.
But that was enough, I would think,
yeah.
No?
Yeah, the badge. I would wear the badge. And I didn't have a gun. The other guy, the guard, would have a gun. We would take the barmaids and go to the Paso del Norte bridge and take them just to the bridge and then come back. We would pass them to the immigration out there and just come back again. And they, of course, they would come back again. We would pick them up with a different wig.
Really?
Yeah.
So, but you said that there was the people were complaining about some abuse by the agents. So your job
sexual
was
abuse, yeah.
Was basically just to so that they couldn't claim later to have been.
Yeah.
I see.
And all the agents, all the what you call the detectives in immigration, they all had their queridas from the hookers and
barbecue.
Yes. They all had their queridas.
So they all had
See, same. Yeah.
So then why would people complain they've been abused if they had their own little favorites?
Because apparently these were good women.
Oh,
These were good women. They were complaining. They had been sexually abused.
Hmm. You never hear about that.
Oh! We would hear about it. Yeah.
How long did that last?
It lasted only a year.
Oh, I see.
When I went in to resign... I told the secretary over at the federal building. At the time, it was Castillo, remember? Mrs. Castillo was the one that
ended. I seem to remember the name.
The federal building. She said, but Mrs. Perez, this wasn't a job for monetary compensation. It was a job for people that like to write stories. I mean, well, I really don't have time with all my children. I love to write. Mm-hmm. And I've written some of the things that I've gone through when I worked for 1 year at immigration. They used to come for me. The officers would come for me. pick me up, and we would pick up barmaids. Or one time we went up to Canutillo and we picked all the maids and the bartenders, and everybody was, even with the mariachis, we're all with our papers.
All of them.
So they padlocked the bar because everybody didn't have any papers. Wow. The barmaids, the bartenders, the
waiters,
musicians,
everybody.
Todos los echamos a la troca.
Wow. I'm curious, they said you hadn't worked. You didn't get any credit for the three seasons with the Bracero program?
No, I didn't get any credit. No. Hmm. Yeah, it's a white man's world.
Yeah.
It still is, you know. Richard, you've gone through this, you know. It still is. Well, it's getting, and if we don't speak up, you know, gonna keep on doing like that. So.
But other than that, you overall, you think your experience, you look
back
on it as
favorable. Yeah, I dwell on the fact that I didn't earn any money, but the experience was tremendous to be working for immigration. You get up the frustration in people when you get them, and I had to sometimes check the women. And they would tell me, you have to go. They would give me gloves and check them all over. And I said, I'm not going to do that. I didn't do it. I just said that I did.
Hmm.
That was, you know, but I didn't do it. I was not going to do it. People
yeah,
that are trying to survive, I wasn't going to do it.
Sounds
I'd
very invasive, invading their privacy, if you would
I
think.
I know. That was so humiliating.
Humbling, yes.
I did it once only. Y luego la otra señora vino y dice, por vida de su madre. No, señora, yo no la voy a checar. Yo le creo a usted. Pásele.
What about the Bracero, working with the Bracero and Rio Vista? Do you have happy memories there overall?
Very happy memories.
Sí.
Yeah, very happy memories. Although now I think about how I think my thinking, you know, has grown. I think that they should be, you know, given a passport and come to work, given good wages, good housing, you know, like they should, and pay their meals, you know. The meals should be included so that money can be, you know, even though they took away so many wages from them, they never got them back. They're not going to get them back. They shouldn't take away Social Security and all that kind of stuff.
That's
why?
What I was going to ask you is, I know that now they're demonstrating in Mexico.
Yeah, and some of them are getting
so
their...
Did that really happen? Did you ever see where they would take out so much of their wages?
Yeah, yeah. They would be paid in cash, in little envelopes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they would take out their, you know, they would pay the, what would they call it? The supervisor. See, they were all Mexicans.
Right.
But the supervisor was Mexican also. Or maybe he had been in that ranch for a long longer than these people. That person would take away the money for having a job there.
Hmm. So he helped himself to part of their...
Yeah, part of the...
And the rancher knew this, of course.
Yeah, pues, of course.
He probably got some of it as well.
Pues, could be, you know. Or he didn't pay the guy. It's up to you to make your own money.
Maybe so.
Uh-huh.
Because I've been hearing about it, I just didn't know. Because you talked to some other people, and they said, "Oh no, they were, you know, they always got paid what they were supposed to." And they were
who knows? No está uno allí. Well, we weren't there to see what they went through. I don't know. We hear so many things about that, but I think they were worked. And they were not paid adequately, and whereas they shouldn't have taken any money out for government, because now what their braceros are saying, that they worked, they should be getting a Social Security check now that they retired.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are getting it. They're
so
getting the minimum, but...
So overall you think then that the program, the Bracero program,
it worked,
but I
think it did. And the farmers
were being
should be
taken advantage of.
Oh yeah, and the farmers are not What is the word that I'm trying to say?
Accepting their responsibility.
Well, the farmers that hired the braceros are not. Debían de estar orgullosos de tenerlos.
They didn't
realize. You should be grateful that they had them. They should be grateful, and no, they're not. They think that they were supporting them. I don't think so.
Well, so. It seems like that was the whole idea, wasn't it? They needed workers here.
They needed workers.
And without these workers,
Nobody else wanted that job. So,
What do you think about these days? Do you think something like that would work today? A bracero, a new kind of bracero program. It's a hard question, sorry.
Yeah.
I was just curious. It's so different now than 50 years ago.
Unemployment is so low right now. And there's so many college students. And there's no jobs for them. But still, farmers' job, most of the farmers are selling their farms.
Right.
For the technology to go into their technology. And so what's happening is that I think we need to revive the farms again, but they're not. United States will not do it. Somebody else is going to do it.
So
I think the produce is coming from South America, Mexico.
Yeah,
it's cheaper. there's no farms out here anymore.
Say here is that, there are workers here, but they don't want to do this kind of work.
No, they don't want to do this kind of job. So I don't know. What I'm thinking now is that so many of those farmers that stayed out here went also into the service, remember?
In the war, yeah.
Yeah, they were of age and they went into serve the United States.
That reminds me, I don't know, maybe you don't remember, but during World War II, there were some prisoners of war here.
Well, I've read about them.
But there you don't remember. German?
Yeah, we were very young, but we do remember that they were German.
Right.
Out here, and they had them over at Rio Vista.
Right, that's why I was asking.
Yeah.
But you don't
I read about
seeing,
them.
You don't
no, I never saw them. I was very young.
You were too young, yeah.
But I remember, conversation at home that they had. And they used to work out in the roads.
In the roads, in the fields?
Yeah, they would have them, the Germans.
Do you remember where they would keep them, besides Rio Vista? Because I have heard that...
Beto, do you know?
What?
He's an avid reader of World War II.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember where they kept the German
prisoners? Of war?
The prisoners of war, World War II?
No, but they were Italian, they had them up in that area.
The Rio Vista, that's what I'm saying. Where else, Beto?
Well, the prisoner that they got here was... here at Fort Bliss at the prison of Stucky. But there was a couple of, but just like...
But I used to remember that mi tía Beca would say that a lot of Germans were here.
In
Fort Bliss. And Rio Vista también.
Some Italians.
Oh, Italians también.
And then Japanese, they picked up after the war started.
Uh-huh.
The man Furuhochi was right there.
Oh.
Dr. Furuhochi was picked up.
He was a German immigrant.
Dr. who?
Furugochi.
Dr. Furugochi.
At the time was very popular with the second world people.
Oh, he was a doctor.
Furugochi was got a dermatologist degree, a specialty in Texas University.
Oh, okay.
After the war, he came back and got out and kept practicing until he went to Japan and died at about 90-some-odd years. A little article came out.
Wow.
Everybody was looking for him. They didn't know where he was.
Where he'd gone.
I asked, what's Furuhochi? Oh, no. You find out, let us know. Years later, a little article came out. He had died in Japan.
Oh, okay.
He informed his people for
just
Japan.
Just curious.
Yeah. There was a Hernandez family. Their grandfather was Japanese, and he has changed his name to Hernandez. So a little before World War II. That's what we've heard. They all look very Japanese. But he changed his name so he wouldn't be stuckade all the family into prison.
The internment.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So how do you? So you lived in the, here in the valley, many years. How do you think it's changed?
The valley?
For the better or for the worse, the valley, the lower valley.
It's okay. It's okay. I still like it.
If you had a chance to move to another part of town, would you do it?
No.
See, because I grew up in Isleta, and you know, born and raised. And now I live out there by Socorro, and people ask me the same thing, and I say, no, I don't think I would leave. Maybe to a different part of the valley, but I don't. You move to northeast or the west side or something. It's not the same thing.
Northeast, you know that northeast has a lot of blacks and a lot of Anglos.
In the military, yeah.
Andas en northeast como si fuera otro, otra ciudad.
Another city, exactly. That's how
you go to the west side and it's okay because there's a lot of Mexicans from Mexico.
Yeah.
Que tienen dinerito.
Yeah.
O dinerito malo.
Yeah. I'm
pero,
sorry. That was that, I shouldn't. Have, that's an,
no,
an unusual
pero,
question,
yeah,
but I was just wondering.
You know, I'm such. I read so much that
yeah.
I know so many things. I know so many things. Because when we used to work in immigration, my brother would come over and we used to share stories.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just two more questions. How do you think the weather has changed around here? Is it colder these days, warmer these days than you remember when you were younger?
Oh, yeah, it was colder when I was younger.
In the older days?
Yeah, but since we were young, we didn't feel it. Oh, yeah, we used to have snow every year.
See, I remember that,
too. In the 50s and 60s, yeah.
Yeah.
When I got married, I remember 1963. I had two children by that time, and I was pregnant with a baby, with a third, my third son, and I remember that the heaters, it was so cold out there that all my trees died out there.
Really?
Yeah, they died. And we had to share one bed because the heaters wouldn't warm up the house.
Yeah.
It was 1963. It snowed so much that year. Oh, yeah, it changed a lot. Now we don't have winter weather. That's why we're
doesn't seem like it, right?
No, we don't have winter weather. And when we do, it's the sun comes out and takes away the snow.
And so you have cold and warm and cold and warm, and people get sick.
Yeah.
Just one other question then. Is anything else you wanted to add? Anything that... just any last comment?
The last comment that I could say is that you grow up to be... to have empathy for those people, and that they're coming only for the survival, and it's the survival of the fittest, mm-hmm. and that's where that concern is.
Yeah.
And we should all, you know, if we're not educated, we should all get educated, so that we have our minds. Can be open wide and not be so close-minded and narrow-minded.
Be more
and saying,
sensitive to
this people are, you know, are coming to take away our jobs. They're not doing that. It's up to you. So when you talk about saying that these people take away your jobs, well, get an education. There's so many things how
yeah.
you can get an education here in the United States. If you don't take advantage, they will.
Exactly.
Because they're after that.
That's what I tell my students.
Like
some of them that are there here at the college, and they look like they're just there just because somebody's paying for them to
that's
be there
right.
or something. And
they
I tell them, you know, you all don't realize the advantage, the opportunity you have here. And I get some of them to come back,
yeah.
not necessarily mine, but they say, look, you know, I was here two, three, four, five years ago, and I just goofed off, and, you know, now I'm back, and I realize, you know. But the problem is they come back with, they're married, they have children. And those are the ones, now they have to go to night school if they want to do something when they had the chance when they were younger.
Yeah.
And they don't.
I don't
yes,
know.
I agree with you.
My husband and I teach confirmation classes to teenagers. And we had a retreat this past Friday and Saturday. By the end of the day, those kids did not answer anything. The priest came over and asked him, you know, it's so pitiful. You want to whack them in the head to see if they wake up. They're very slow readers. They don't write well.
Don't
These
like
are freshmen, sophomore, and juniors in high school.
Yes.
You know.
See, then we get them, and they don't want to read, and they don't want to. And I, you know, I teach history, so they don't have to do much writing for me. But just a little something, and in their test, I give them one essay. Excuse me. And many of them don't. They don't want to do that. All they have to do is read the textbook. They don't want to do that. But what can you do? Just try to get to some, if not all of them, maybe to some of them. And where they eventually, I think they will realize.
I think parents, it's an obligation for parents que dicen, pues no quiere ir a la escuela. Pues señora, bájese sus calzones. ¿Dónde está aquellos hombres que se jafajan? Over my dead body, will you leave school?
Yeah.
That's what I used to tell my children. And now that they're grown up y todo, ya dicen, thank you, mother, for being so strict.
Yes.
Yeah, I used to get, you know, things like, I hate you so much. I'm doing a good job then. Yeah.
So my mother went only to sixth grade, or she was going to go to sixth grade, and then they took her out because they needed her to help on the farm. And she says, that's why when I had my family, I made sure that you all had an education, because she said she wanted to go. She really liked school, and she wanted to go.
Yeah.
She never had a chance. And so
I did too, but there was, you know, when I graduated from high school, I told my mother, Mama, me dicen que tengo estas muchas habilidades en la matemática y que debía de seguir al colegio. Dice, pues, ¿cuánto cobra? $25 at the time when
really?
I wanted to
this
go back
be,
to school.
What, Texas Western?
Yeah, aquí. UTEP. $25 for the semester with books.
Wow.
Included were the books. They said, ¿dónde vamos a agarrar? $25 was a lot of money.
Sure.
In the 50s.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. But I wanted to, and I tell my children now, they had so many advantages. Mother, I want to leave school so that I can buy a car. They go, boss, or you buy your car, but you work and you go to school too. Cuando estaban aquí en Community College, y luego de aquí se fueron a UTEP. But not all of them finished. The youngest didn't finish. Y ahora, ay, mother.
When they're stuck in those minimum wage, low paying jobs.
Well, he's a sheriff. He works with the sheriff's department.
Okay.
But he only had 12 hours, which was not enough. He needed 12 more hours, associated degree at least.
Yeah. Let me ask you, since you mentioned the sheriff, just one other thing, I'm sorry. Across the street from the Rio Vista, there was this large building that is now part of the sheriff's. Do you remember? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. It was an immigration depot.
It was also?
It was an immigration. It was the sheriff's. Okay. Was it the sheriff's?
It's
I remember
sheriff's
it was
now.
Green.
I have heard that it was the county poorhouse.
Ah, okay.
But now the buildings that we think of Rio Vista today, on the other side, you know what I'm talking about,
yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Do you know, did they build those? Were those buildings built just specifically for the braceros, or were they already there before?
I think they were built for the braceros.
Were they pretty new when you all were there? Did they look new?
Yeah, they look very rustic, but they were relatively new, I thought.
Okay, because somebody was asking me. Have you ever gone back there just to visit?
No, I've never gone back.
No.
It's a hospital now, isn't it? The Rio Vista
They
hospital?
Have
a convalescent home or something?
Oh, you're thinking of something else.
Oh, okay.
No, there's like a little community center in part of it, but the other buildings are almost falling apart. They're trying to save them, to renovate them.
Uh-huh.
There's a little historical marker there now, too. But
what about you, Richard? Do you think, are you against the braceros coming over?
No. I think I agree with you. I think it was something that benefited both sides. Unfortunately, from what I'm learning, is the braceros were taking advantage. Sounds like they were taking advantage of it. But it was a situation at the time where there was the demand for workers. There was a supply over there. They weren't here. So it was something that would benefit both sides.
Yeah.
But although unfortunately, as happens a lot, as you know, is when you have a situation where like this, sometimes one side or the other will take advantage of
them. you come and think, okay, so the engineers were the Anglos, but who paved the streets?
Sure. It was this is the second part of the interview with Mrs. Socorro Perez. We're just going to finish up. The interview is on Monday, March the 3rd, 2003. And we were almost finished. I forget what you were telling me. But
I was telling you that the Braceros were so happy to have a job. And they were a happy bunch. They were not dreary. Some of them were scared, like everybody else. But mostly, they were very happy to have a job. Now they knew that their children would be okay. Their families would be okay. Because they would send the money, most of the money over there.
But they...
And some of them did things like that they weren't supposed to. They would go out to the bars where Anglos were, and they would have very unhappy situations happen to them.
Experiences
out there that...
Did most of them save their money and then take it all home at one time?
No, they would try to find ways
to send it back.
Go out to the post office and send the money.
Okay.
Make a postal check.
A money order?
A money order and send the money. Okay. But no, some of them would save them, but it wasn't a good idea. Everybody was told about that. It wasn't a good idea because they would be robbed.
Sure. The security.
Yeah,
the
they
safety.
Did that, you know, their money.
Right.
So no, yeah, they would send the money back home. Mm-hmm.
Which would be a lot because the peso at the time, do you remember, it was 8-1?
12-1. 12-1. 12.50 to 1.
Right.
At the time.
Okay. Uh-huh. Well, anything else you want to...
If you see a lot of handsome people, it's because a lot of handsome braceros came by.
Okay.
Just like the Spaniards that came.
Españoles.
Que vinieron a México, también aquí vinieron los mexicanos. That's why you see the golden color. Some of them married an Anglo and the children became golden color.
Like the güeros, ojos azules.
Ojos azules, yeah. If they came and stayed. Yeah, they would look for the rancheritas.
That doesn't say much for the people, the Mexicanos that were here, though. If you're saying that the nicer-looking ones, the handsome ones, are because of the braceros.
Well, because there were our people, too.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Well, remember that they weren't up in Louisiana, and now they are. Louisiana, Georgia. There's a lot
everywhere.
Of Mexicans, you know, everywhere. Mexicans out there. These are people that stayed
everywhere.
From the Braceros programs. They say they saw, they liked, and they stayed. They conquered.
In a way, yes.
There was an article in the U.S. News about a colony of Mexicans in this Louisiana town. There was no jobs, no nothing, and so all the people almost left the town. And the Mexicans came in, and they started to build this little town. With stores and what have you, stores and restaurants and
bakeries
and all kinds of stuff. So people are coming in just to have a celebration. Yeah, which is it's a tidbit.
It's an interesting story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and you know that the church is also bringing people, priests from Georgia, from Louisiana, from all the way up north. So that here in El Paso, they can go to Juarez and be in parishes where they can learn the Spanish language.
Spanish, oh yeah.
Because they want to say the word, the Bible word to the Mexicans out there.
Yeah. So this way they can learn the language.
Yeah. We had, just recently, we had a priest from Georgia, some priest anyway. And they brought some other priests that were
they
learning
to
be
priests.
Didn't
know any English when they came? I mean, no Spanish?
No Spanish, and they went speaking
they went back
Spanish.
Speaking.
Yeah.
The real Spanish, right? Not the.
Pues
you can learn Spanish.
Hablamos.
Yeah, you can learn Spanish in the classroom, but we're talking to really.
Conversational
exactly.
Spanish. Lo que hablamos aquí.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Lo que hablamos, el modo de hablar de aquí,
sí.
Del suroeste. Que hablamos muy igual como la gente de Chihuahua.
Sí, norteños.
Muchos de nosotros hablamos mejor español que ustedes, los jóvenes. Estoy diciendo que if you were in school in the 60s and 70s, we know better Spanish than you all do.
I would agree with you, yes. That is, you know, even a lot of the younger kids today don't even know Spanish.
And they don't want to, and that's an error.
I know.
That's an error, because where are the jobs now?
So I keep telling people. I have a niece and a nephew in grade school, and I keep telling them, you know, they know a little English because, you know, of their great-grandparents and having to deal with them. I keep telling them, don't forget, you need to learn the Spanish, you need to be bilingual, mm-hmm. and I'm hoping that it's going to get across. I don't know. But
well, see.
I was explaining to my nephew the other day about the tilde, the ñe.
Oh,
what
line,
it means. Uh-huh. So maybe that was one little lesson. I hope you yeah. remember.
Yo cuando fui ahora a Richmond, agarré todos los neighborhood kids the last time in the summer, y querían aprender español. Los senté a todos y les escribí. Vamos a comenzar con los vocales. Mame, mi, momu. Y le oraciones. A sentence. Mi mamá me ama. With the A and the M, the vowels. Mm-hmm. Mi mamá me mima, and all those little words.
Yeah.
And now when they call, my son calls, he said, mamá me mima. He starts out with that. So, yeah, I think it's very important for us to be bilingual, and to be proud that we are bilingual.
Definitely, yeah.
I think, yeah, and that we're good in both languages, not only to speak it, but we need to write it, read it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Socorro.
Okay.